Hi everyone, and welcome to Music is Everything podcast, episode 38, Son of a Gun, with me, Matt Hornby, and my very good friend, Andrew Groves.
Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Of the future.
This is a first, isn't it?
This
we are
is
coming
a first.
At you from technically the past right now.
Yeah, we are an official podcast now.
How they do it.
Yeah, this is
in the pro leagues.
This is my dream for the podcast as well, is that there is an uneasiness about when time has passed. Like what was recorded when and you know, what had happened in the world.
I think confusing context.
Yeah, I think it was a necessary decision as the podcast, you know, it's a weekly thing. It's inevitable that this was going to happen. So, Matt, you're on holiday right now, right?
I am. The good thing is, as well, is because it's pre-recorded, we may have edited and there might be some editing. And then that's when I went to the shops.
Exactly. That was very good. You had me fooled.
What do you mean? So, as I was saying, left of centre, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually the first thing I would have thought of.
And the weather was fantastic.
Very good. They say he's a one-man editing machine.
There you go.
So what do you think, what are you doing now?
I've probably been for a swim, maybe read some of my book, because I bought a new book last week.
Okay. What did you get?
This week. I bought a book by a guy called Matt Haig. I don't know if you know him.
I recognise the name, actually.
Yeah, so he's actually Brighton-based author, writes a lot about mental health.
Okay.
And his first book was Reasons to Stay Alive.
Okay.
And it was based on a scenario when he was on holiday in kind of a paradise scenario, and decided to try and take his own life.
Okay.
But he didn't. Right. And then he kind of started to write about it. And he's since become a really successful author. I've got two of his books, That Reasons to Stay Alive one, and a second one, which is more about, you know, today's connectedness and social media and all that stuff.
Sure.
And then I've just bought his latest one. He also writes fiction as well. And I bought his latest non-fiction and his latest fiction.
Nice.
And I've not read his fiction stuff before. So yeah, that's probably what I'll have been reading.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but in the longer that time passes, I'm more and more in favour of an idea that I go on holiday to read or kind of be involved in some kind of activity that is stationary.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and don't get me wrong, I like doing a bit of both. I think I would go insane after a couple of days, but the idea of taking, you know, some equipment or things that like I couldn't normally partake in or maybe would feel guilty to partake in.
Sure.
The idea of just and that's what's great about like a plane journey or a train journey, both of which don't exist for me here, is that there is it's just like, well, I've got to submit, there's nothing else I can do, so I might as well just read. Or you know, and I always have a long list of things that I want to do in my guilt-free time, if you know what I mean. But
yeah.
But making that guilt-free time is hard, because, you know, as soon as I sit down reading, I'm like, oh, I could be doing this or I could be doing that, for sure. So do you plan on, is that kind of the plan? Do you plan on having
Well, actually, this is going to be, I always used to take, for years, I took my like laptop on holiday with me and ended up doing loads of stuff. But these days, I like to try and, yeah, like you say, submit to the holiday. Mm. And a bit of actual time off. I think it's good for your soul. And hopefully kind of let those get creative and kind of come, you know, when you kind of start missing, I don't know, your guitar or ideas or, you know, all these things, you kind of want to get to that state. So you come back refreshed with like surplus of creative ideas and that kind of thing.
Yeah, the restraint is quite good.
So yeah. Like so I'm actually, my laptop is in need of a new something.
Battery?
Yes, a new battery. That's exactly it. And it's getting a new screen, courtesy of Apple. Thank you very much.
Oh, is it new?
No, it's 5 or 6 years old now.
Okay, but, and still in warranty?
No, but it's the screen. It's got some, like, not dead pixels, but the UV coatings coming off. This is great. This is
okay. Yeah, please. This is interesting. Riveting. Yeah.
So, but Apple apparently it's a recognized fault, and so they'll give me a new screen. And when you pay, I think it's about like £200 for a new battery, you get a whole new keyboard and trackpad and that whole top bit. So the only thing that will be standard is obviously all the innards and the bottom plate. Mm-hmm. But it'll be essentially a new laptop for £200.
Not bad.
Yeah, and it's still working fine. I mean, there is
you know, saying it's 5 or 6. 5 or 6 is pretty good. My old laptop, and we're not in any way affiliated with Apple.
No.
I think it's like 2011.
Mm.
Still going strong. I mean, it says as it explodes and killing everyone in the room.
That's it.
But yeah, no, it's still going strong. I mean, I don't use it for any heavy lifting anymore. So, there's 5 or 6 has still got plenty of juice in it.
Yeah, I think if you buy, I bought as kind of as action packed as I could, sure, with the buy good, buy once theory back in early 16, and it's doing, it's powering me in your eyes and ears today.
That's it. That is it.
Which, you know, I think it says something.
There you
go. It's definitely earned its money. That thing.
What do you think I'm doing? As in not
what do you think you're
way.
Doing today? Well, right now, I don't think you'd be watching this.
I have to play it.
Yeah.
I'll probably be... this. If you're watching this now, I'm probably sort of like this.
Yeah, maybe eating some pasta and popping in and out for coffees.
That's true.
And then I reckon you'll get a yogurt and maybe a piece of fruit.
Yeah, maybe... I've been recently converted to kind of bread-like crackers. Usually I am not into anything that's kind of air-based bread.
air-based. Yeah. The air is the best ingredient in any
essence
food.
Of bread is what I would call it. Where people are like, oh, what are they, like, is it Ryvita and all this?
I just
think it's tripe.
The kind of stuff where you're like, oh, there was bread there a minute ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's just sadness. Just don't eat anything instead. Just eat a tomato. It's much nicer.
But people say, you know, people always say, oh, but they taste really good with pâté. And you're like, that's because you like pâté.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be
you're
the same
tasting
with
the pâté.
Eating a pâté with a spoon.
You're eating pâté with
is
a
really
side
good,
of
you
air.
You don't like the spoon.
Yeah.
It's just a conduit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when they say like chocolate can't be called chocolate. It's not. It's pâté with essence of bread. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like
essence of bread sounds like a perfume.
Yeah, it's not. But recently, I did find some sourdough. I don't even know what they're called. Bread things for the studio here because we're in the kind of middle of nowhere. And changed my life. But yes, as you state. We've also got into making hummus. I say me, my lovely wife,
nice.
And killing it. So, bit of hummus, bit of salad, bit of cheese. That's probably what I'm doing right now. Two of them in a kind of smoothbread kind of formation, little plate. That's probably me right now. So that's kind of just behind. That's behind the scenes.
Nice. I like a little glimpse into reality.
Yeah, and neither one of us are excited about anything.
Yeah, it's hard to be excited. But I think
are you excited for in the future?
I was going to say, I think right now, as you're listening to this, I'll probably be excited about an upcoming barbecue. Or maybe I'll have just eaten barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Barbecue's pretty good.
Maybe in my trunks, if it's good weather.
Is barbecuing as big in Denmark as it is in Iceland?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's a popular pastime.
Yeah, it's big here. It's almost part of the kind of requirement for nationality, for sure. If you haven't got a grill on your balcony,
ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream and grilling. If you have neither of them, you're screwed. There's no way they will check. I've been out and about on Christmas Day and seeing people just grilling on their balcony. And some people, you know, people have rubbish balconies that are just about a foot. It's more of an annoying place to put a door that then hits a balcony.
I think
I've seen people squeeze them I've seen people squeeze a grill onto that. And there was one neighbour who we saw literally almost had just a hand out of a window grilling. Very good. On Christmas Day.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
very. Fair dues, though. What is it? Do they cook, what, kebabs? Or, you know, is it like the full roast turkey
hot dogs,
on there?
Hot dogs very big here. I imagine a lot of more... Actually, no, that's a lie. There's a lot of burgers, a lot of smash burgers here.
What's a smash burger?
Apparently, it's like the thinner.
Oh, the chain?
No. They're thinner, but also more cuts of meat, I think, as well. That's quite a big thing. There's some,
a multitude. Is it kind of like you're schooled in a mystery meat?
No, as in they wouldn't really settle for that. It's prime.
Good.
Prime or go home. Yeah, I don't think... It's not... They don't really do mystery meat.
Although I would suggest, because I remember the first time I went to Iceland, I was recommended that as you're traveling around, because it's so expensive, every petrol station sells hot dogs.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
And they're like the cheapest food. Yeah. But I don't. Are they high quality hot dogs?
I imagine they're all right, but I've not had one. I've yet to have one.
Wow.
Yeah, since I've had ice cream, yes. Hot dogs, no. So yeah, that again, another. But then, strangely enough, the hot dogs are hot dogs, like more like a Frankfurter than a traditional English sausage. Sausages don't really exist here, particularly.
Fine.
Yeah, that's the history of meat, selective meat cuts. I think. What are you going to be excited about next week? You reckon a nice grill?
Are you a grill?
Do you take over the grill? Do you get involved with the grill? You a grill meister?
I do like to get involved in it.
Okay.
So I don't. I feel an immense amount of pressure. Actually, I did one maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
With my family, and I like to do it. But my sister's partner is a chef.
That's true.
He's that good, right? That we had this steak on the barbecue.
He just looked at it.
Almost. he went like this. No, it's not ready.
Classic. Yeah, sure.
And then he told me this rule, and I can't remember it, but basically the squidginess of different parts of your hand how chefs gauge whether it's, you know, medium, well done, and all that stuff.
Sure.
He was just like...
the getting the hand involved bit that probably stops me from becoming a professional chef, I reckon.
Why?
I just worked out, then I want to wash my hands.
Yeah,
like, I've seen people grill with just a hand as well, like just there,
really?
Yeah, and I'm like, what are you going to do with this now? Do you know what I mean?
Just stick it on the barbecue.
Unless you've got like a little lemon dippy bowl to kind of wash it off. No way. I don't want to like, that's what utensils are for, you know. So,
that's true. I've never seen that before. That's pretty keen. It's like people walking
even
on
frying
coals.
I've seen people just get said, you know, steak and just pop it on and do it all with their hands. I'm like, you're a madman.
Is this an Icelandic thing?
No, just chefs. And I think maybe that's just what's... I'm a passionate... I like cooking a lot. Maybe that's what's going to stop me.
Fine.
From the person who invented, you know, pizza glove and sandwich glove as well. I've invented that as well.
What? Sorry? What?
You know when you go to a petrol station and you know there's like little plastic gloves?
Oh, yeah.
Or just your general kind of COVID avoidance. Once upon a time, I was in transit and there was nothing open. We needed to eat something before we went somewhere else. And I was like, well, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I don't want to eat something that's rubbish. But there was no other option. And I was like, well, I've got to drive for a long time. This has got to be a quick stop. Went to a petrol station, picked up some of those gloves, ordered a pizza. Obviously, no utensils to eat pizza with.
Nice.
Pizza gloves. And honestly, if you're sensible about your, you know, your consummation of said pizza, and you don't try and take more than you can, you know, can fit around them, in an ideal sense, if you think about, like, you know, if you throw something in a bin.
Yeah.
Or like, is it when you get the rim of a basketball hoop?
Uh-huh.
In my dream scenario, the food just passes down without touching any of the sides. That's how the pizza was. It didn't kind of create any
like
sense
a little
of
marble
grease.
Ball size.
Yeah, you do the, you know,
like
the Italian
Malteser.
The Italian pinch. Obviously, you've got pizza gloves. You can pick up
like
anything.
Oh, like that.
And then straight. And
another technique, I've just been thinking about this, could be, you know, to cut it into a decent size.
We didn't have size. We didn't have any utensils.
Oh, you could
so
tear
just
it, I guess.
Straight up. So I think it was Domino's pizza, most likely, that was the only thing.
It's unsliced.
Oh, it was sliced, yeah. But but you got pizza gloves, you know? You're immune. You don't need to wash hands after. Just take the gloves off. Done.
Using the gloves, though, you could technically roll each slice into a small ball,
sure,
and then eat it a bit like an apple.
Yeah, but then we have beards.
True. You're like, I see. I like
it. So it catches, you know, it's my worst nightmare, really, because it catches any. So I need something that's going to fit in this
this
hole.
This little letterbox.
Yeah, this little letterbox without touching the side. Like I say, ideally, it would just be like throwing it into a bin. It wouldn't touch me. It would just go in and sustain me with no contact. That would be an ideal.
Well, if I were you, I'd have gone to the petrol station and bought about 10 bags of Maltesers.
Yeah, but that's not real food. I also have sometimes you just...
That's true. After touring,
sometimes it would be the case that we'd be driving like all night and the only thing are open... That is open at petrol stations, and it's like, do you want mystery meat, like Maltesers? You know, do you want a nogger?
Crisps.
Do you want a bum bum? What do you want? You know, what kind of ice cream? And for those wondering, those are ice creams. King Cornetto? A Biffy maybe?
Corny bar.
Oh, I tell you what's horrible is a poulet rôti. Horrible. Don't do that to yourself.
Chicken.
It's a chicken sandwich, but that's not bread and that ain't chicken, friend. So that's when you're like, I just give me something real. Give me like,
do you know what's worse than mystery
pasta.
Meat?
Go on.
Mystery chicken.
Of all the meats, I think there's a skepticism.
Well, at least with mystery meat, it suggests that you're trying to guess which meat it is. Mystery chicken's telling you the meat, but it's still a mystery.
When it's a bit shiny chicken, you know, when you see like cubes of it and you're like, that's too perfect a cut for that to be.
I've seen no square chickens walking around the fields.
That's been reconstituted. When it looks a bit like tofu, then you're like, don't know. Yeah. You've been sprayed off a bone and glued back together somehow, haven't you?
Exactly, yeah. So, have you ever seen a chicken?
Exactly. Well, that was... culinary delights
adventures with. What are you excited about this week, Andrew?
In the future, like I say, honestly, I've just been looking at stuff about models. That's been my
the plastic kind.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly, yeah, not the female kind. But in the future I would... It would have been past the weekend and I would have finished the first round of models, that the little starter pack. Being at this rate, I will have assembled them and maybe primed them. So
it's pretty good progress. Well done, future you.
Well, thank you, first, future Matt. but also it's a process as well for me to help me let go of things, take my time, and not rush. Not that I'm a rusher, but I am excitable. Mm-hmm. And I've just made sure that I've got the correct tools, and I'm just going to do it a bit at a time with small expectations to just reach the next milestone and then put it aside. And that way I'm kind of controlling any ambitions, because for me, I if I'm doing something, I'm like, oh, and that's it, and now I'm going to be a modeler king, you know, like it has. Yeah. I have to, Sophia,
I've just ordered a 6-foot life-size model.
Exactly,
and it's coming tomorrow. That's and I'm going to do this and I'm 6
gonna,
weeks
and I'm going to enter into I'm going to become a modeler king and the,
Sophia,
I'm going to enter the
modeler
king competition.
Yeah. the Icelandic modeling finals.
Yeah, so that's why I'm signing off on it in that sense, is that it's good for me to do that. And patience. I'm very patient with people, but not really with things. And mm-hmm. So again, I'm just doing it a little bit at a time. So at this rate, I should have had them assembled and primed. And I'll be updating you right about now.
I was going to say, can you bring them in next week?
I'm bringing my models to
show.
Yeah.
Show and tell day.
Yeah, oh, guys. Okay, this one is...
He's called Chris.
Yeah. But we'll see if I'm happy or sad, because now that I've assembled them and cleaned them up really nicely, this is really when... It's the priming plus stage is when all right. that effort that I've put in to try and be a sensible and reasonable human being could be ruined with just an erroneous brush stroke, of which I am not in any way proficient. This is all new territory. But so far, honestly, I think I've done a really good job, and that's the problem. There's already a problem brewing.
You've set a threshold.
Yeah, I'm already like, oh, I'm actually not so bad at that bit. And now I'm starting to like them, and that is an issue because... So if I'm a bit quiet in the chat... Pay your respects. Just F's in the chat for me now. I'll let you know what the deal is and if we're happy or not.
You could take the same approach. So I grew up in the countryside in a small holding.
Yeah.
And we often had animals. And okay. the rule was you can't name them.
Oh, sure. Farm life.
You can't get attached because when that day comes and Jenny the duck is yeah. being eaten for dinner.
I love her.
Yeah. You're not going to be happy, are you?
Yeah, that's true. My dad has a farm, and yeah, that's been every time we go up there, my nephews and whatever have been up there and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like this is the harsh reality of keeping sheep and keeping those things just be, and also just stuff dies all the time.
Oh, it does.
Even like that, just random stuff.
Foxes.
Well, exactly. Those foxes come in and just rinse up. And don't even eat it. They just like...
That's the worst. When you're a kid, and it's like you've got 20 chickens and they take two.
Yeah.
But they're all dead.
Yeah. And I really like chickens as well. Like...
They're pretty cool.
I think they're one of my favourite animals. Have you ever just really sat down with one?
What, for like a chat?
I'm 100% serious. If you... Honestly, comedy's funny and all that, but sit down with a chicken and ask it some
all
really
the all the revelations tonight.
Is real good. We bought my friend's dad some chickens without him knowing for his birthday, and we built a chicken coop in his backyard without telling him. And just so one day he woke up on his birthday and we're like, boom, you got chickens. And honestly, it was one of the funniest things that's ever happened in my entire life. We got it loads of toys, like just, and we would just sit there and just ask it random questions about what it thinks. And honestly, they're so perceivably intelligent.
Nice.
In that you think that they're really, you know, they really have something to say. They don't.
But they don't.
They don't.
So, kids, if you run out of comedy in your life, you've watched everything, you've been to every concert imaginable.
That's it.
Just talk to a chicken.
Honestly, we were just like, well, how do you get chickens? We looked it up. There's a place you can get chickens. And sorry, Peter, if you're listening to this, but we just drove there. I mean, we were in our teens. We just drove there thinking like, oh yeah, we'll just go and pick up these chickens. Like it just, and it was a farm and we were like, okay, maybe we're a bit out of our league here. Like, do they think we're legit? Because the guy was like, yeah, just come up and get them. And we were like,
anyone can have
cool,
chickens.
Let's get
you
some.
You don't need a license.
Well, that's it. Yeah, well, exactly. And we were just like, okay, let's get these chickens. And then the guy was like, oh, hi. Like, obviously we're quite young, and he was just like, yeah, like getting a few chickens. And he was like, yeah, okay, well, just pick the ones you want. And that was the test, is whether we could even pick, because we were just in this coop full of chickens. Yeah. And so the first test is whether we could pick them up, of which we could not. And so he did that. And then we realized we had nothing in which to put the chicken.
Oh, man.
And so we had a little Citroen AX. I think it was my first car. Little green, tiny little Citroen car, four boys.
Little boxy thing, yeah.
And one chicken, just... two chickens, just loose. Just, I think we had like, I don't know if you remember Safeways, but those, they used to have green, who are now Morrisons. We had little green, like crates, and we just put the chickens in that. And obviously, I don't know. I can't think of a funnier situation when we were just sat in the car and be like, I can't believe that man let us buy those chickens.
How many did you buy?
Two.
Just two?
Marjorie and Victoria, yeah.
Oh, you did name them. First.
Rest in peace. They got rinsed by Fox. That's the end of the story.
Oh, did they really?
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
It was a bloodbath. Think of what we did I think we're like, oh, look, wake up. You've got chickens. You know, like, we worked so hard to make a legit chicken. Like, it was no expense spared. We made such a good chicken coop.
Like razor and wire and CCTV.
We dug that in, and somehow those little bastards got in there and just rinsed the it was a bloodbath. So we actually sort of indirectly brought him sadness for his birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's
I've always thought, wouldn't it be funny to get someone like a goat for Christmas or something?
Well, if you ever go to like PetSmart or anywhere like that, I'm surprised at how cheap things are and how like little you need to know to really do anything about it. Like, I always thought it would be fun to just buy loads of gerbils and just give them to people in handshakes. And then that's it. You're just burdened with that now. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. If someone got you a goat, you'd be like, well, what do I do with it? But it's your goat now, so you've got to do something. And you've got a massive goat.
This is your burden now. Hold this for a sec. That's yours now. Exactly. And they're so cheap. I feel like you could buy like 100 for like £100 maybe.
What, gerbils?
Yeah, like little hamsters, little things. I was so surprised at how cheap small animals.
100 hamsters in your house. That'd be the worst.
You could just give them away to kids. You know, like when you're like at a supermarket or something like that. Kids are like, can we have it? And then you're like, here, do you want this gerbil?
You've got a Santa costume on and go, that's it. Hey kids, happy Christmas.
Do you want this gerbil?
Yeah. What would you like for Christmas? A BMX, here's a gerbil.
Done. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
There you go. You could just buy, just waste your money on buying animals you can't care for. Except don't.
An animal is for life, not just for Christmas.
And we're just joking. And we love those chickens.
And those gerbils.
And those
and the goat.
And the goat. But this week, anyway, so that's what we're excited about, Son of a Gun.
Son of a Gun.
And we kind of have gone... I mean, it's kind of ironic being that we are a podcast with... we are a broad music podcast, but I don't think we've really had a kind of rock-focused show. When I would say a large proclivity of the audience... And not that we want it to be that way. It just happens to be the way that it is, and obviously our own background. So there is a kind of rock-focused audience. I think we've actually honoured other genres pretty honourably.
I'd say, well, we've done many things before we've actually got to this.
Yeah.
Which I think is good. And we set out wanting to make this a bit broader than kind of what I call the obvious. Mm. And, yeah, that's a nice thing, really. That's a really nice thing. But we thought, given that Son of a Gun kind of addresses that rock and roll attitude, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. I've just thought of that Six Drugs video again. It makes me laugh.
We can share this video. I will be sharing it now.
Given that... Son of a Gun kind of represents that attitude. We thought we'd kind of address the rock star, the rock band, the eternal question of, is rock and roll dead? Does it matter? Does anyone care? ETC.
It's pretty common in waves, in that it definitely comes up a few times a year, maybe more even, but it's quite a common, not headline, but you know what I mean. It's spoken of quite heavily,
And a bit of clickbait here and there, and it kind of ties in as well with, is the guitar dead? You know, all those kind of things about that seem to be taken through life with this heritage, and people kind of wondering if it applies and how and. If there'll be those same big bands that kind of once, I want to just say, ages ago, who
ruled the
roost.
I'm really sorry, Matt. You're absolutely pixelated to lifety. Now you're frozen. And now you're back. But we can always cut in. It's just going to be a video.
Okay, it's a bit annoying though, isn't it?
It is a bit annoying. But we can always jump back in.
This has never happened. The first time we pre-record... It doesn't even need to be good.
It's coming back a little bit, but still you're like blinking really slowly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, oh, fuck. I don't know what I can do about it. I'm just going to check my internet again.
Like, it seems to come in waves. I don't know if it's just obviously like heavy use time. I'm not sure.
It's so fast. I'm over 300 meg right now. What ball egg?
Yeah, there's literally nothing else on.
Yeah, I've not got anything on here either. Spare room.
I don't know. It's hard to. You're just
better.
Yeah, you're moving.
Okay.
You just pick it up somewhere.
Oh, there we go. Connected to the thing that's closer. Yeah. Should we just pick it up?
Yeah, we can just. Obviously, I can just edit it together. That's the crack.
Okay. Do you want to make a note of how far we were in?
Well, we're just going to be I'll just be like, hey, we had a technical fuckstick, and I literally stopped the recording, so I'll just start it again.
Okay, cool.
I think we just go from the idea of the title. That's kind of okay. That makes the most sense, right?
Okay, you start then.
Yeah. Hello, people of the future. For some reason, when we decided to record this at a different time, it seems like the internet says no. So, sorry, we had a couple of glitches there with the connection. Anyway, after talking at much length about chickens, the idea of this show and the kind of sentiment that we settled on, really, with our lovely Discordians, is... Yeah, after all this time of being a music podcast, something that we're really passionate about is it not being a kind of like a boys' club, but even our own backgrounds being very much from a kind of alternative and rock and metal kind of backgrounds and guitar background, that we didn't want it to be too heavy in that and that it could hopefully be a bit kind of broader as well. So... Actually, for the first time, pretty much, of all our playlists, we are looking to do a rock-based podcast, I suppose. And definitely exploring this idea that comes up all the time of whether rock is dead or whether the guitar is dead. It seems to come up at least a few times a year. There's some kind of article that you know, someone is saying that music is dead for them now. And also, I think for me, looking at, there's always much discussion about, like, I think even as a band, we always saw sort of festival lineups as kind of like a leaderboard of bands, like that kind of showed you how well you were doing every summer, if that made sense, depending on where you were on the various bills. And one of the big sentiments certainly is this idea of these kind of rock and roll legends that are just well in their 50s now.
Or 60s,
you know, even plus.
Yeah.
And are still at the top of all of these festivals, and that they're just kind of moving from one to the other. And who will replace them? And also, you know, is there an obligation for them to kind of, you know, for those organisers to, you know, help them stand aside to some degree, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And I think that's always a quite a tough question, I think, of who are these kind of who are the new legends? You know, is it possible to be
it's true.
A legend anymore?
It's a really interesting one, and it's something that I always feel it feels a little bit narrow-minded, potentially, to suggest that rock is dead. Mm. And I think it could be a bit of a... If that is a suggestion, I think the kind of conclusion should be to look a bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in a time sense, you mentioned all these... the giants, the classics, the heritage acts, all these people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the headliners are still there because they still exist, yep. from being like the first in their field.
Mm-hmm.
Take a band like Iron Maiden, right?
Sure.
Kind of credited as one of the first big metal bands.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around for so long.
Yeah, but
they're still here.
Mm-hmm.
So because they were kind of at the beginning of a movement, there is no one who's been around as long, because they started. And
sure.
Or Megadeth. Well, no, actually Megadeth are later, aren't they? But Judas Priest, say.
Yeah, sure. I mean, pick any of them. I mean, it's always, you know, in every field, you know, AC/DC,
mm-hmm.
Kiss, you know, in the same breath as that, I think also, you know, like, who are we to say that they're not entitled to that as well? Because they are,
oh, totally.
You know, like, and, you know, they're certainly not getting the royalties anymore. And, you know, music isn't known for its pension scheme, you know.
But also they're the first ones to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Rolling Stones, for instance, like Charlie Watts, their drummer, has just dropped out of their upcoming tour.
Mm.
13 dates in October, I think it is.
Right.
He's 80.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
He's 80 years old. These guys, well, I don't know, they feel like some of the original kind of career musicians.
Sure.
And in their wake, there seems to be this expectation that that's the trajectory everyone should be aiming for.
Mm.
Whereas I think, you know, from various interviews you've kind of heard over time, at the time, like in the 60s, 70s or whatever, people thought, you know, oh, this will be fun for a couple of years, not, you know, till I'm 80.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a really interesting one. And As for if rock is dead type scenario, if people are kind of looking for this long-term career, it is over the time that those giants have been around, everything's changed as well.
Enormously.
So it's not only were they the first, but they have benefited from a system which was different to the one that is now.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
You could argue it's much harder to do what they did now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously at the time, like, again, I mean, it depends on, you know, the depth at which you're measuring, as in at the time obviously there was no infrastructure in that sense, but also, you know, even when you think about, you know, the way things are with or were with the top 40, is that if you could make it into, you know, being signed and you could make it as a band, then if you could get into the top 40, everybody was pulling their musical choices from that top 40. You know, it
sure.
was a much more concentrated medium.
Yeah, like a focused pool.
Yeah, exactly. And you could argue that nothing has changed, just that is now a much wider pool, you know, and mm-hmm. you can support artists from all over the world, whereas normally, you know, you wouldn't get access to them. At the same time, having that intense focus on your band is unparalleled now. I just don't think you could get it to that degree. I still, it's just not the same. I think maybe there's still remnants of that in the pop world with people like Beyonce and Kanye West,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where they're getting that kind of attention. I just can't see it being the same as in getting that kind of exposure. It feels like, I say, those career musicians are in the position that they are because of that as well. As in, they were still part of that time where that they could really get that kind of weight behind them and that kind of focus. And I think having that huge push and enormous audience reach, and even just that starting point of having back when record labels had money and people bought things. There's certainly not that infrastructure available to you now as an artist. It feels like an enormous, like the idea that people don't pay you for your own music is just like ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Like there's no such thing, that money, that Spotify money, that any money, it's just not even, you're not even, the idea that you're not even making the bus fare to the studio to record that song. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, so I don't know how that moves forward. I think it's going to change unless there's a mechanism in that switches or music just switches. Maybe that was just a time of you know, when you think about disco in the 70s, you know, we herald that time as being this kind of magical time, but you don't think about all the other genres that were going on that were probably not getting the spotlight. Maybe that
all the bands who didn't rise right to the top.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, quite a lot for all those bands. You know, that aren't the Rolling Stones in their 80s as multimillionaires. Yeah. I'm sure there's many who just went back to the backup plan or do something else. You know, but equally, there are. Every now and then someone comes along and, you know, people pin their kind of, everyone's like, oh, you know, pin their hopes on these new guys. Yeah. I hope that, you know, that maybe they'll be the next big thing. The people who grew up with these like rock greats and were really influenced by them as whether they're the guitar players, musicians, whether they're just, you know, music fans. And for me, it feels like since, like around 2000, just before, so like what was it, early 2000s, Arctic Monkeys broke on MySpace, didn't
sure,
they?
Sure.
Just before that, there was like Muse and Coldplay, who are all really huge bands now. So anyone after Arctic Monkeys who came along feels like an internet era break.
Yeah.
And if you're outside of, if you are in a rock band, which is fair to say, I think is slightly away from the mainstream in that period.
By default, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You do get a gem or someone who manages to kind of ride the line between a rock sound, look, attitude, and mainstream appeal so that they can break into that kind of thing and then get to be pushed along in that stream to a point that is big enough to be sustainable, I guess.
Yeah, it's a like, I think, you know, looking at how trends change, you know, I think it seems now where there are audiences that can sustain that kind of music, and don't get me wrong, there are huge bands that are kind of riding that line, and even, you know, speaking about bands like Bring Me the Horizon and Architects, they're still, you know, doing some really big arena shows around the world, sustained by a fairly, you know, you could argue a niche audience to some degree, compared to pop. I think what is most certainly the kind of dominant force right now is kind of hip-hop inspired or hip-hop based music for sure, and that that's already reflecting in not only the charts but also the festivals and even also like as that shifts, you know, like it's quite a popular thing for there to be kind of a kind of mosh pit like attitude almost to some of the songs, and like certainly, you know, you look at festivals like Reading and Leeds for sure, like there's now, you know, a good, you know, argue almost maybe even half and half of a kind of more, you know, either pop or kind of hip hop orientated acts, which is a reflection in youth, I think, as well. As you know, like when you think about, you need to be, people need to be involved in the music for it to prosper, you know, and you know, if that's a indication of where 14-year-old kids are at now, then, I mean, I think that shows. I never think that rock is dead. Is it the predominant thing? Maybe that is, you know, is it?
Yeah.
You know, these bands were also, when they came out, they were kind of pop, right?
Yeah.
At the time, these kind of legacy acts.
But it's also worth mentioning that was ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is worth, yeah, things change. And I think it is worth just remembering that it isn't the same. And what you said there about the kind of mix of a festival lineup, you know, and hip-hop influence and change in taste of younger kids. When I was kind of looking at bands, because I think that one of the points of this conversation is that we have asked you guys to chuck into a playlist modern...
Guess what? I haven't even asked you yet.
You don't. We haven't asked you. Look,
you're
at
on
that.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I almost fell into a role then.
You
I
idiot. You don't even know.
I thought I was in the future.
You're starting to, you know what, you're starting to look like future Matt as well. That's what I've noticed over this conversation.
You look about 6 days older.
You know, I think you're really taking on this persona.
Do I look 4 days relaxed and 6 days older?
Yeah, 4 days, nice. That's your new, I reckon that could be your...
That's my new album.
That should be the book that you write on your holiday, I think.
Brilliant. Copyright me.
Yes.
I forgot what I was going to say. I think, basically, yeah, we asked you to put some songs, modern rock songs, or future rock, whatever you want to call it, something that describes... I'm a firm believer that, that I don't even really like the expression rock is dead or the guitar is dead. I just think it's a bit close-minded. Mm. I prefer to think that if you look hard enough, you will find it.
Absolutely.
And we're in a different world now. There might not fill stadiums, but there's some absolutely great rock music out there.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your taste, there's just some really good stuff. And stuff that is, as you said, with these younger festival audiences, and is more diverse. Because really, most of the old rock guard are white males.
Sure.
And writing the list of things when I was thinking about bands that I really like, new rock bands, of course there's some white males in there, but there's some really great like female fronted bands, and a lot more of a diverse range of people kind of making that kind of music with that kind of sound, and taking in, well, you mentioned Bring Me the Horizon, you know, featuring Grimes, or and people kind of bringing in more electronic sounds, people from different genres, and the whole, there's way more of a melting pot. And even when you think about more of a rock sound and try and narrow it to that specific kind of character, there still seems to be some really unique and new ideas and some really good spins on it, which keep it contemporary and keep it pushing forward.
Yeah, I think like, kind of to echo what you're saying there, I suppose, it is moving forward, but maybe not as you imagine it. And I think that's a good thing, right? Is that, you know, I'd certainly struggle with the idea of you know, even when we're talking about making this, the idea of rock music as rock music and that kind of classic sound to it, for me, is always incredibly dated. I immediately I am uninterested in it by its nature. If I'm like, mm-hmm. well, what's new about this? What's, you know, what I understand you can do faithful and that's cool, but like I say, I feel like it's like, oh great, this will be on a pub jukebox somewhere. Like, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? Like, and I think, you know, that to some degree, there's kind of a, I think that's a really interesting point you brought up about the seeds of that, like you say, being that it's a predominantly white male. And again, like when you look at even the sort of guitar greats and stuff like that, it, you know, most people came from a fairly middle class background and could afford the guitar and this kind of stuff, you know, and came from somewhere in Surrey and kind of, you know, it would be interesting. You know, maybe it's more about representation. Maybe we're actually shifting to a truer sense of representation. Maybe there is more of a sense of representation in music that isn't rock because of this, because there is a feeling that, you know, that it is predominantly, you know, this kind of white male thing. And in just the sense that it feels that way, and maybe you wouldn't be attracted. Maybe, you know, maybe if you're a young woman, person of color, it just would never appeal to you in that way as it would if you were a young white kid, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe hip hop, and I think by its nature, by its very elition, it has a much wider representation, and kind of has always, I think, kind of been seen as that kind of underdog as well. Mm-hmm. and certainly, you know, just by its history. So maybe people are gravitating towards that more. Maybe you know, maybe it's the new rock. Like, I think, you know, there's already a lot of crossover. I think certainly we've reached a place where genres are starting to blend and totally. It not be detrimental to the music. I certainly remember, you know, even when we started out, that like the idea that something could be pop and rock was just like, we don't know what to do with it then.
But, yeah, exactly.
You know, but now it seems, certainly, especially within pop music, to be much more kind of, you know, like,
yeah.
There seems to be much more of a kind of melting pot. I think at the same time, you know, looking at bands that are doing well in that sphere, I think heavy music is doing better than it's ever done.
Oh, it's so interesting. Or it feels that way.
Certainly to have bands like Bring Me and Architects doing the kind of you know, things that they're doing and at the level that they're doing it is huge,
and to have the recognition, albeit perhaps that you know, chart success isn't what it once was, but still to be recognized in that way, you know, with number one albums and singles and that kind of thing, I think it's really, yeah, really, really positive. It feels, from what you were saying there, it does feel like there are two strands, really, of what rock is today. There's the backward looking, which is probably what we're not really talking about here. Mm. People like your Dirty Honeys, like Temples, sure. who are kind of...
Airborne.
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet, all those kind of people who are looking and replicating the past in a new way. And then there's your future forward looking, kind of pushing the boundaries, pushing the sounds, pushing the ideas of what you'd expect from that, you know, 3, 2, 4, 5 piece,
sure.
you know, with instruments, you know, whether they're using tracks, incorporating electronics, more instruments, using a bass guitar as a guitar, just kind of really pushing what it is. And I think that for me is more about what rock or rock and roll is. It's as a culture, the whole thing was, albeit I think some of it can be quite cliche these days, I get that. Mm. It's fine. But the essence of it is doing whatever you want, kind of like say goodbye to the rules.
Anarchic,
you know,
nature to it. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just yeah. There's an attitude to it, which is just, I'll do whatever I want. Mm. No one's going to tell me what to do type thing. And it's quite close with punk rock, I guess.
Sure.
But it's still there in the rock and roll kind of lifestyle. And I think bands who are, I mean, I'm not saying take loads of drugs and do all that stuff now. I think it's probably more about...
I was going to say, you know what? If you want to talk about things that are dead...
Go on.
I think it's that. I think the nature, that strange romanticism and relationship that we have with the idea of sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Yeah.
I think if you were doing that now, or are doing that now, I think people think you're a prick. Do you know what I mean?
What do you really mean?
Yeah.
No, I 100% agree. I think that is the bit. That romanticism is the bit that is dead. Yeah, I think you're more likely to find a rock band cycling at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Or at the gym and meditating and, you know, all of these kind of...
I think they're much
of,
more likely to be vegan than they are to be, you know. And I think, you know, traditionally those are, you know, that subset of, whether we can call them a subset of people, like, are traditionally the more progressive, liberal, you know, it's just the same with like comedy and stuff like that. They're usually very left-leaning individuals as artists go. It's kind of predominantly as a very, you know, broad brush. That's obviously not the case for everyone, but, you know, that's kind of how it is perceived. That, yeah, I think that idea, I don't think is really possible anymore. Certainly we never experienced anything close to that.
Do you know what I think it is? It's obviously more in with the times. It's more reflective of kind of current mindsets. But also in reality, the pie is smaller,
enormously.
The chain between you and your fans, or you and your, the final product, is smaller. So there's less at each stage. You have to, where everyone's trying to squeeze more and more out of the the lemon, or whatever the analogy might be. Obviously, social media means that people, if you were, you know, blind drunk on your, you know, IGTV or whatever, it might not look great. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of factors now that mean, and people's expectations of a performance is higher, you know.
Well, they want to be I think the people who are even maybe synonymous with the idea of sex and drugs and rock and roll are a heartbeat away from any kind of Me Too movement. Yeah, I think it's pretty fair to say, and the kind of womanizing nature of it. And I think, yeah, there's just, you know, we always felt like there's no time to do this. Mm-hmm. You've got somewhere to be. The idea that you would have this crew of people with you to help manage you as an artist, I think they would think you're a bit self-entitled. And again, there's no one, you can't afford to pay someone there to look after you and make sure that you're getting from A to B kind of thing, or whatever, you know. Like, I think the there is certainly, though, a big push towards things to create relaxation and resolve anxieties and deal with the stress of it, and to deal with the social aspect of being in a band. I think there are a lot more, let's call them downers, than as a prevalent thing. And kind of, I think there's probably a lot. I think it is certainly that that nature has been replaced by recreational kind of soothers, let's call it. I don't know what the TOS of Twitch is, but I think it is moving towards how can I go to sleep on a bus, I'm performing at a high level and I need to sleep and I need to feel better and I need to not feel anxious, or I need to get over my social anxiety. I think those elements certainly have skyrocketed within the live element and the idea of touring and there's that I think we that's been all around us, and it's social. It's stuff that people do every day. It's drinking and smoking and whatever, you know, like nowhere near to the level of excess. I don't think that behavior is acceptable anymore, but I still think there is that element. But it seems to have enormously shifted towards coping rather than the idea of the party and the kind of excess sleeping pills and at the same time, you know, like exercise and time off and stuff like that and it's also, you know, on the rise and kind of bands going and working out and going and working out before a show and going to mm-hmm. you know, napping. Do you know what I mean?
Eating clean and all those good words, but it seems to be far more in common with, you know, an athlete or a businessman or someone starting working a startup type thing.
And it is that. I think that's something that's certainly not recognized enough, is the you know, athleticism. You know, I remember, you know, we'd sit in there, you know, we'd be watching Biffy do a concert for an hour and a half, 2 hours or whatever, and look at them and be like, athletes, man. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, totally.
Absolutely caked in sweat, like all relentless on all fronts, on every muscle group, you know, like keeping up that level every single night, you know, let alone, you know, I mean, almost with rock music, you get away with it lightly compared to pop music, maybe with your singing and dancing and routines mm-hmm. and, you know. You only need look at any of the documentaries of Lady Gaga or Beyonce or the mm-hmm. K-pop and the J-pop, which takes it even to another level with these incredibly high standards of performance. You know, sure, I think more issues around that are imminent, and the stress involved in that and the anxiety, and I think we're definitely going to see a lot more of. You know, the idea of it's really stressful and public opinion and stuff like this is, the music bit's really fun, but that element can be horrible, you know, for anyone.
Sure.
No one wants to feel judged or whatever. And when you're working that hard and, you know, needing to make money by doing more and working harder, you know, I think that's a really bad recipe. But I certainly think there is, from any experience I've had and from how it reads, I think that is the, if when they're talking about rock is dead, I think that is the element that is well and truly dead. I'm sure there's some people really trying to, you know, like you say, look
keep
backwards.
It alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe some of the legacy acts are kind of limping along on that, still on those crutches, but I think that is long dead, if not dying, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, go on then. Who's on your shortlist of future rock?
So I struggled with this when we were talking about it, and then I was like, I don't know what rock is. Again, in my mind, rock is kind of it is those, you know, like I said, if you had a Les Paul, if you play a Les Paul, I don't know who you are. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, but yeah. I think, for example, there's loads of bands, and an idea we were talking about was this kind of festival thing. And there's actually loads I want to shout out.
Go on.
As far as just, and they're just obvious ones, so I didn't put them in my playlist because I feel like they don't need the attention. Mm-hmm. But thinking about future headliners, like who are still doing or are doing or can do. Obviously, you know, we've spoke about bands like Muse. Obviously, Biffy are well and truly there. Still, I think they're due to headline Reading again. Couldn't think of a better artist to be at the top of the game. Nicest guys in the whole entire world, writing absolute stormers.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't ask for anything better. Definitely managing to ride both worlds, I would say. Twin Atlantic, still doing the job. Don Broco, mm-hmm. they've got a new record coming out. I think they're still, again, like crushing heavy riffs, still doing the pop thing. They've kind of managed to, like, they're a very original band. They're very, they have, I remember when they really shifted for Automatic, and I thought that was really admirable to really take that leap and to really kind of take on that style that they did and really kind of be themselves in that way. Even the music, I don't know if you've heard any of the more recent songs, but they kind of...
I heard the album, the last album I listened to quite a lot.
Sure.
I forget the name of it.
It wasn't Automatic. There's another album between that I've not heard yet. But yeah, the most recent album, the tracks I've heard from that, the tunes are just kind of bonkers, but they sound amazing. And like, you know, again, I really think they could be future headlines. Funny enough, I wish I'd have put them, and I'm going to put them into the playlist post humorously.
Sure.
Yonaka, who I literally just saw on the lineup, and I forgot. Every time I hear a tune by them, I'm like, oh, who's this? And it's by them. They are killing it. Awesome band. We always wanted to play with them, and it just never worked out. And then now they're just flying up the festival bills. Awesome band, awesome songs, awesome voice. I think, I'm trying to think, who else? There was a couple that I was like, oh, I felt like they're just obvious shouts. Code Orange. I think Code Orange are the coolest. I just think...
So good.
They've come from something that is just very traditionally blood and guts, kind of hardcore, you know, homegrown, you know, kind of... blood on the floor, you know, kind of thing, arms swinging, every meme kind of thing. And then now they've come back with that, well, come back, they never went, but they released Underneath. And the most recent album, I love the production on that album. I bought it out of pride.
Nice.
Again, super future looking and all these incredible, you know, electronic influences within it. I think they're just going from strength to strength and like already seeing huge success because of it. I think they could definitely definitely become kind of headliners, if not already. I'm sure of it. And I think there is crossover there. I think there is enough crossover that they could do the impossible, which is to take that kind of music and put it in a more mainstream context.
Definitely,
obviously
definitely.
Architects, obviously Bring Me the Horizon are doing great. Do you think any I feel like any others that are just like, these guys are going to pick up the mantle.
So, yeah, I want to shout out a few bands.
Go on.
And interestingly, I noticed that maybe I'm biased.
Go on.
Quite a lot of these bands are Brighton-based.
What? You're like, just sticking up.
Yonaka,
what's the word when you just promote within?
Yonaka and Architects.
Sure.
Both Brighton.
It's in the water.
There is Tiger Cup, who we've mentioned before, Brighton. Mm. Royal Blood, Brighton. Big Spring, Brighton, Black Honey, Brighton. It's basically, there's a lot of bands in Brighton.
You just need to get out of your own area. Do you know what I mean?
Get out of your bubble, mate. Get out of your bubble.
Yeah.
But no, a few bands I really like, who some of them I've mentioned here, but All Them Witches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether I'd tip them for a festival headliner, but still a really original spin on you know, rock music.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really, really, really good. Combine so many influences, really worth a listen. Big Spring, I'm a big fan of. Great Brighton band, I guess. Quite 90s like grunge influenced, but
The two really can't think of the Empress. Yeah, we used to play with them quite a lot. Lovely guys. Yeah.
Black Honey, again, Brighton band, female fronted kind of grunge, but then their latest album is a little different. I've put them in the playlist. Really, really cool band, worth checking out. I think they're quite in the same pool as Wolf Alice. Again, another band worth mentioning.
Every time that's come up, we're like, who's this band? And then, Wolf Alice, I think, really, really great. Really
amazing. Obviously, Royal Blood. I've put a tune from their latest album, Typhoons. Yes. Again, they probably don't need the promo, but...
They've got to be headlining.
They've got to be on the playlist.
Yeah,
doing really good stuff. And again, taking rock in a slightly different direction, even for their own sound.
Yeah.
Definitely a bit more electronic this time around. a band called Bones UK. They used to be called Bones, but I had to add a UK for... they're a duo, both from Camden.
Okay.
I half know the guitarist, but they're both based in LA, and they're kind of very future rock, but really worth a listen.
Nice.
A band called Never Not Nothing, who used to be Black Futures.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Really, really cool band. Mm-hmm. Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes.
We listened to them last, well,
we did.
Not last night, but last night.
Last night, last week.
Yeah.
Nothing But Thieves.
Yes. Yeah, I think
there's
they can
a band.
Straddle that line. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've included a track from their latest EP, which I actually haven't listened to, but I really got into their album, Nothing Is The Ideal.
Sure.
The last one. It's such good songwriting, incredible singer, incredible music. Just a whole new direction for me. Their new EP has just dropped, and from what I've heard, in about a minute.
Sure.
It sounds really good.
Nice.
And I think that's about... I've tagged on the end Fever 333 as well.
You know, I'm familiar with Let Live, but I have not actually sat and listened, or not knowingly anyway, listened to Fever 333.
I've seen them live, and... Their drummer especially is something else.
Sure.
Eric
Jason
Improta.
Must be short. It's well documented force, you know, of nature anyway. So
exactly.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
Another band worth a listen.
Absolutely.
So yeah, there's and we could go on.
Oh yeah, so I did add some into the playlist that were kind of new bands and certainly ones, to be honest, that have come up here. And we've been listening on the Discord, and they've kind of blown us away. I think Spirit Box is kind of, well, it's my first choice, Holy Roller. Every time, every track comes out that's come out recently from them has just been amazing. Again, I love what they're doing, really future forward, and, you know, there's all these kind of different influences within it. Really exciting to see what, I'm assuming an album is on the way. Really, really excited to see what they do, and certainly it seems like they're already kind of making waves. I think that could be another really exciting band, to really be, you know, doing arenas and whatever, and hopefully more. Mm-hmm. You know, Loathe, who time,
excellent.
I really, really. I know they're getting a lot of attention, and rightly so. Like. Wicked band, love all their influences within that, and definitely can see them doing some really, really big things. Like, they're, I mean, I don't think any of these are not getting the attention they deserve.
Sure.
Amazing band, loads of like super heavy elements, and then, you know, big kind of luscious deftones like choruses, and really cool mix. Mm-hmm. And lastly, from me was Sleep Token. I think certainly this kind of pathway that's being made from, dare I say, some of the kind of gentier tones into this very cleanly sung, almost beyond pop vocalists, and sort of there's been bands like Issues and stuff like that as well that have already kind of do that, and sort of, you know, Tesseract with a kind of a clean metal mm-hmm. sound. But doing, you know, again, pushing that even further, and there being more pop and electronic influences as well. And every track I've heard from them has just been amazing, and it seems like they're really, really kind of picking up steam as well. And I definitely could see them doing festivals and stuff. And I think, you know, I picked them because I was like, I wanted to pick three really interesting bands that I feel like are doing something, like you say, future rock.
Yeah, you know, like, and I think that's where we're looking.
Absolutely.
And hopefully you guys have had a chance to add your own recommendations.
Mm.
Hopefully, you know, with a broader view than our two brains combined.
Yeah, we'd like to learn, for sure. Who have we
definitely.
Missed?
Definitely. You know? Yeah, who have we missed? Because there's so much out there. Mm. And maybe this is something that we should... I think it's a common, obviously, thread...
Mm-hmm.
As we were saying at the beginning, it's a common vein that runs through this whole thing, and quite a lot of, you know, you guys out there are on the same page with that. So maybe we should update a playlist more regularly.
Yeah, like we did with the unsigned thing. That was such a great... I think... I feel like there is a... I don't know what the word is. Responsibility, I suppose, you know, as we do this, to kind of maybe keep that in place. And, you know, I'd like to feel like people will be like, oh, I needed to find some new music in my life and I came here. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I think that's the dream for us, really. So maybe, yeah, we could kind of make a future rock playlist or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that would be, or future music, and kind of keep it updated, or maybe kind of keep revisiting it. Just because there's so much out there, and every week it's been so eye-opening doing this podcast and having the playlist. It's been such a lovely function because, you know, the first few picks are ours, but beyond that we have no idea, and there's been so many great surprise artists and
so many,
you know, finding new artists to save and love. So
I'm adding to my library quicker than I can listen.
Yeah, and
it's
exactly.
It's a great problem to have.
Exactly.
So you might actually, I say I'll be reading. I'll probably be reading as well as listening to or catching up with these amazing bands and artists I've seen. I'm trying to use the expression artists, by the way, these days, rather than bands, just to keep it broad.
Sure. Yeah, no, I feel that.
I'm saying it out loud.
Do it.
It's been in my mind.
Well, I think, you know, we spoke about it on our Patreon.
Did we?
Here's me typing it now.
Oh, what was that called again?
I'm typing it now in Thunderbirds. Click.
And Patreon.
I'm just pressing enter. Now, future me.
Cool.
Looking cute as ever, future me.
Oh, yeah. Look at him go. You can join our Patreon for all things extra. If you want to be a Twitch VIP, you want to have access to our exclusive Discord chat
room
and be a supporter on Discord.
Be a part of the future, man. Again, yeah. A big part of this is, you know, we're realizing as well that doing this stuff is great, and maybe getting new people pointed towards new artists and supporting new artists and trying to... have an unsigned kind of element and support that and support new music and look for music and hopefully introduce people to music they wouldn't normally listen to. But we'd like to get to a point where we could also help support some of this. And that's very much a part of our plan.
Definitely.
You know, to be able to...
to give back.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would like to see this...
I say that with a slight kind of tongue-in-cheekness, but I'm deadly serious.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've long dreamed of the... ability to be able to, you know, reach out to people, and obviously we want like to have guests in the near future and be able to support that and be like, you know, give away some of their merch and, you know, mm-hmm. but we get to buy that merch. We buy that directly mm-hmm. from the band, and then we give that away and hopefully get, you know, new people excited about that band and new people wearing their merch and what have you. And that's all kind of a part of it. We did a whole podcast about kind of our dreams and aspirations,
did.
And it's one of my favorites, and that's exclusively on the Patreon. We're going to try and do one a month, and we have many more plans in store for the podcast. You can listen now. Me of the future will be listening along with you guys in the Discord, so it's just going to be a solo performance, but we're going to be listening along, so we're going to go into the Discord now.
Yeah, join us for the after party. I will hopefully be saying hi. So if you see me around, say hi back.
Celebrity popping.
That's it.
It's like, you know, when they do after parties, I don't know if you've, like you've been to a show and then nearby a pub or something will be like, oh, it's going to be a so-and-so's after party. They're never going to be
there.
They
never turn up.
They were never going to be there.
They were Pizza Hut, you know, the other street over.
Exactly. But yeah, that's it. So yeah, bonus Matt.
That's it. Well, yeah, just follow us. Hit us up. Find the audio. Find us on socials. Stay in touch. We love you very much.
The
Thanks
audio
so
will
much.
Be up on Friday.
It will.
At 6 a.m. Here's the link here. Click. And, and we will see you, and I will see you in a minute. Matt will see you in another one.
And I'll see you next week.
Oh, and we got to do our phrase.
Oh, yeah, what's next week's title?
Next
Come on, we nearly forgot, guys.
Next week's title is...
Future Us Slacking.
My Cup of Tea. Someone or something that one finds to be agreeable or delightful.
Well, There you go.
I think maybe we go personal. And just like,
fine.
What's your
this
top?
This time,
what's
it's
your top,
personal.
What is your top three favourite songs? Like, what's your
ever.
Number one favourite song?
And you oh, have to yes.
pick. What's your favourite song ever?
I love I think, these questions. Off the top good. Five, I always find really fun. Top yeah. five artists ever, top five favourite songs, top three. Yeah, let's do it.
Get it, whittle it down to one. If you have to pick one, your plane's crashing, you're about to die. You've got time for one song.
Well, what obviously, I picked the longest one.
Well, I mean, yeah, mate. I mean, sure, yeah. maybe. Maybe we can cap it. We're just like, this is it. The plane's going down. You've got 8 minutes.
The plane's going down. The plane's going down. In about an hour, you've got time for 12 and a half minutes. 12 minutes 29.
That's
is
it.
What?
That's
November
it.
Rain.
God favours the prog heads.
That's it.
That's it. They get
on
those
that
extra
note,
minutes.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Thanks so very much. Bye, everyone.
See ya.